and welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 43rd episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Okay, so I've been off for 2 weeks. Obviously, last week I was at Stitches West, and for months now we've been reporting on the Podcaster Throwdown for Hills of Hope. The Podcaster Throwdown for Hills of Hope, wonderful competition between, you know, some really amazing podcasters. And it ended, of course, at Stitches West, and it was pretty great. I want to remind everybody the way that this worked out was there was hats that were donated per team, and then there ended up being an additional way for teams to earn hat points. People could go up to halesofhope.org and donate a $5 donation to their website to equal a virtual hat point toward the team's final bragging rights for the throwdown. And we have a winner, and we have a final tally, and I'd like to share that tally with all of you. Team Knit Knit Cafe had 126 actual hats and 26 virtual hats for a total of 152. Team Knit More Girls had 802 actual hats and 125 virtual hats for a total of 927. Team Sockaholic had 442 actual hats and 165 virtual hats for a total of 607. Team Ready, Set, Knit had 300 actual hats plus 8 virtual hats for a total of 308. Team Craftlit had 280 actual hats and 20 virtual hats for a total of 300. And Team Naughty Girls, the winners, 876 actual hats, 89 virtual hats for a total of 965. And I want to congratulate all the teams, and I do want to make a special shout-out to Laura and Jen. You said you were going to win. You all said you were going to win, but you actually did. So there were also on the floor donated just generally to Hills of Hope. That's Stitches West, 289 hats. So if we do the grand total for Stitches West 2014, we had 3,115 actual hats, 433 virtual hats for a total of 3,548 hats, which makes this the most successful hat drive that we've ever done. And I want to thank all of you for the amazing effort. I want to thank all of you who donated. I want to thank all of you who knit a hat. I want to thank the podcasters for getting involved in this. Every hat matters, and this was one of those great campaigns that got there because everybody cared enough to get involved. So next week we'll be talking about the next big thing. And again, I just want to thank all of you for the hard work you did on this campaign. Okay, my guest today is a really great lady. She is a designer, teacher, and now author. She began her designing activities by sewing her own wardrobe inspired by drape and color. She brought her talents to knitting almost 10 years ago, first exploring modular construct, then lace. In 2006, she became part owner of Kirkwood Knittery in St. Louis, Missouri. With a background in fashion design and retail management, she made a natural transition into knitting and co-owning a yarn store. Her eye for color and detail is fantastic, and her fashion sense lends well to staying a bit ahead of trends. She got inspired by the intricacies and challenges of lace knitting in 2008. This is really where she's made her mark on the knitting world. She sees the patterns in small mathematical blocks and creates some of the most beautiful flowing garments in the field today. Her talents have been recognized by Vogue Knitting, Debbie Bliss Magazine, and, of course, Knitters Magazine. She taught at the first VK Live event in New York City in 2011 and at VK Live LA, as well as many Stitches events. She has also become an author. Her first book, Lovely Knitted Lace, published by Lark, is being released as we speak. The subtitle of the book is A Geometric Approach to Gorgeous Wearables, and I think she nailed it. I have a pre-release copy in front of me, and I have to tell you, this book is just beautiful. I'm pleased to have her on the show today, even though she does enjoy giving me a hard time. It should be fun. I'm speaking, of course, of my friend, Brooke Nico. Brooke joins us this morning from St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning, Brooke, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
So are you Are you recovered from the show?
I am recovered from the show. I am.
How long did it take you?
You know, it actually, I didn't get to California time until I got back to the Midwest, so it took a couple days. But
okay.
I hit the ground running, and I'm all ready now. Yeah.
I just couldn't. I needed, like, almost, and I've never had to need, like, almost a week to just recover. But, you know, I was exhausted when I got home.
Well, it was a busy show. It was a great show.
It was a big show. Yeah, it was a big show. It's fun to see you there. I heard you more than I saw you. I was I remember I was in the restaurant and I heard you in the bar. I heard you laughing. Maybe it was probably Carol's laugh. It could have been yours. I think I heard you laugh.
It was probably Carol and Marley. The two of them have such wonderful laughs.
They do. They do. Yeah, you hang around fun people.
I do. I try, you know. I figure.
You do. You hang around, fun people. So I want to get right into the interview today because, you know, you're amazing. You know that we at XRX love you, and I'm really thrilled to be able to share you with the Fiber Hooligan audience. Let's give our Fiber Hooligan listeners a little background about you. Of course, I've given your resume, in our intro, but let's talk a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? Tell us all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I grew up right here in St. Louis, Missouri, which I love. St. Louis is kind of a city with a kind of a small town feel, but I like it. So I went to school. I went to a small college outside of Chicago, close to Schaumburg, actually, called Wheaton College. And I studied psychology and education. Not a good psychologist, but I did do education for a while, so I do like that.
Okay. And you were always crafty?
Always crafty. Those of you who know me or have seen me, I am thin. I've always been very thin. So I just had to always make my own clothes growing up. So I learned really early how to sew. And I just always made my own clothes. And that's how in college I made, you know, money for, we'll say pizza. Yeah, we'll say pizza. It's good. For sewing things for people. Because back then, that was when everyone wanted peg leg pants, the straight pants, and Levi's didn't make them. So I made so much money straightening everyone's jeans with the right color yellow thread.
Oh, that's awesome. So you just had a little setup, the little shop there with a baby lock, or did you rip off the
amulet?
Is that what you did? You had a little baby lock there, and you just set up shop straightening the legs?
Yep. That was it.
Wow. Okay. Now, see, you're surprised that I know what a baby lock is, aren't you?
I know. I am rather impressed, actually. Although, frankly, I have to admit that was before the days of baby locks. So. After treadle foot, I did have an electric machine.
Okay. All right. So you know, before, no one ever comes into this industry, you know, and says, I want to grow up and be in our industry. So before you got into this industry, what other great, cool things did you do?
After college, I actually spent a time working for Benetton, and I was a store manager here in town, and then I used to go around the country, because Benetton has really, at the time, had really rigid rules about their retail merchandising and their display. So I would go around the country and open new stores for them and teach the managers how to do their store windows and how to do the store display and all of that. And then I spent 10 years teaching early childhood education and early childhood special education, which I really did love. But then when I had my own kids, it was a little hard to teach two-year-olds all day and then come home to a two- and a four-year-old. So
no, I understand.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So I tried to be a stay-at-home mom, and I have the utmost respect for all the stay-at-home moms out there in the world, because that's a hard job.
Yeah.
That's a really hard job. So I learned how to knit and then just kind of fell into this.
So when you say you learned how to knit, let's go through that process really quickly. I mean,
yeah.
Did you just, you know, go to the store and pick up needles and it just, you know, a light shone through the window and you just all
that
of a sudden
knew how to knit. The angel came down and taught me.
The knitting angel came. Okay. No, but I have a feeling it was more complicated than that.
Well, not really, actually. I literally one day before we were getting ready to watch football on a Sunday afternoon, and I thought, I need something. So I ran to the bookstore, and I bought Knitting for Dummies, and I bought a skein of yarn and some needles, and I came home, and I taught myself how to knit stitch, do the knit stitch perfectly fine from the book. Really, that worked out just fine. Purl stitch was a bit of a challenge. I couldn't do that from the pictures in the book, so I ended up, my mom taught me how to purl. So I did garter stitch for about 24 hours and okay. decided that garter stitch is really boring. Then I did stockinette stitch for another 24 hours and decided that stockinette stitch by itself was really boring. So I went to the local yarn shop and bought a book and some nice yarn, and I made my first sweater, which was a child for my then 4-year-old son. It was a intarsia sweater with little cars all over it and set in sleeves, and that was it. Did it, which unfortunately the sweater was later stolen from his child care center. I was very upset.
Aww.
I know.
That's just not good at all.
I know.
So you became a knitter on your own, and you found a local yarn store, which is great. And so how did you go from enthusiast into actually becoming a designer and a professional in the world? What was that? What happened?
Well, it started with the Kirkwood Knittery, with the yarn shop. The local yarn shop that I had shopped at kind of had a bad reputation in town for customer service. But I did, you know, run in there occasionally. And on one of my visits, I found out that the owner actually was very ill with cancer. And I happened to live right around the corner, so I said, if you ever need help, you ever need someone to kind of jump in and fill in, you're not feeling well, give me a call, because I'm right up the street. Well, I ended up managing the store for her in the last few months of her life, got very close to her. She offered to sell me her shop, but for a lot of reasons that wouldn't work out. But at the same time, I kind of knew that this shop that had been in existence in this neighborhood for 30 years was going to be closing, so there was a gap. And a friend came in and said, you know, it's the weirdest thing. I had a dream that you and I opened a yarn shop. And that just kind of started the ball rolling. So we opened Kirkwood Knittery, and then after I'd been doing, and I just was always designing my own things. I made one thing from a That one sweater was the only thing I ever made from a written pattern, because I already knew garment construction. So I just kind of played. And being self-taught, I think, has some great advantages, because I didn't know there were things you weren't supposed to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just did it and figured it would work. And I also spent a lot of time actually looking at my work, because I needed to know what I was doing. So then I went to Smart Business Conference, which is put on by Soho Publishing. I went to that, which is it's a good retreat for local yarn shop owners. And on about the third day of the retreat, Tricia Malcolm, the editor of Vogue, came up to me and she said, I have been watching every piece you wear. I love it. I would love to publish this one piece that you're wearing. And that was kind of it. So 6 months later, my first design was out in Vogue Knitting. And then that same year, I met Rick at Knitters, and then we put out, I was so happy to be included in the K100 issue, and everything from there just kind of snowballed.
Cool. Well, let's break down some of what happened, because I'd like to get more in-depth in a few of these things. First of all, I think it's wonderful that you met Trish, and I've had several guests on the show that have said that Trish Malcolm was really that first big break. And, I want to give a shout-out to her. She has been responsible for starting a lot of people off, and I think that's a pretty yeah. great thing that they do about that. So kudos, Trish and Soho. Second, let's move back to your we'll talk about your designs a little bit, but I would like to talk a little bit more about the Kirkwood Knittery. I know we have an agenda in front of us, Brooke, but we're going to skip mm-hmm. around a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the Kirkwood Knittery is an exceptional store, and it's evolved, and it's hard. I mean, my family came from a yarn store background, and it was hard enough then. It's gotten much harder now.
Yeah.
And you are a model yarn store, in my opinion.
Thanks.
Our own Mavis Smith has come down and hung out with you guys at your store. She continues to rave about that experience. She had such a good time.
We had such a good time having her.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about your store. Let's give a little more depth about how did it come about exactly. I mean, it was originally three partners, as I understand.
No, it was originally myself and my original business partner, Susie Kinsella. And she stayed in the business for about 3 years, and then her children were off to college and graduating, and she said, you know, I'm ready to retire, and I am ready to, you know, start that next phase. And Robin had been working at the shop with us, and so, you know, Robin bought in, and now she is my business partner. We moved about 6 months ago. But, yeah, it's a constantly, I think that's the thing with the yarn shop. You have to be constantly changing and evolving, and I think the industry has changed a lot in the past probably 3 years, which has impacted us quite a bit. Our philosophy, especially Robin and I, our philosophy really has always been education. And our goal is, we are always telling our customers, our goal is for you to be independent. And not that we don't love, we love having you come in and talk to us, but we'd rather you just come in and sit and knit and feel comfortable fixing your own mistakes or, you know, doing all that. So we are really big into education and helping people, and we have no qualms about helping you no matter where you bought your yarn, because an educated knitter is a good consumer.
You know, I want to make a point about that, because I talk to a lot of yarn stores, and they get, some of them are very fussy. You know, hey, you didn't buy it from us, we're not going to support it. And I understand that as a philosophy. I'm not dissing it, but it seems to me that the most successful yarn stores that I've met are, first of all, that, you know, primarily into education and events, you know, making it a festival of their stores. But the second thing, they don't get bound up about that, and they realize that there's a longer sales cycle, and that one skein that wasn't bought from them is not the end of the world. I've noticed that the more successful shops don't get that bothered by it, and I just wanted to give you kudos about that as well.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just not, you know, it's not an issue for us. We would much rather people be happy knitting. The only thing we will not do, and that's, again, for our independence, our goal-oriented, is that we aren't going to necessarily fix the mistake for you. I always tell my people, you know, I will hold your hand, you can cry on my shoulder, I'll stand in the back with my pom-poms and be your cheerleader, but I'm going to teach you how to fix it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm not going to be at your house next Saturday night.
Is the level of knitter that you must have. You told, I don't know if you told me, but I hear a great story about when Stacy Charles came to visit. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, he came to our store probably about 3 years ago. And he thought he was going to do a fall fashion preview, and he had a PowerPoint, and, you know, we had about 20 to 30 customers here. And so he did a show talking about what was going to be up next season in Taki Yarns and in the fashion show, or in the fashion world in general. And then he opened it up to questions. And, you know, our customers' questions were more along the lines of, can you tell us more where the color palettes come from, and how do you figure your color, and, you know, what fibers are good now, and what fibers do you think, what do you think about when you're looking at a yarn line? And very, very in-depth questions that he was not necessarily, he was just surprised, pleasantly surprised, very pleasantly surprised, that our customers knew so much more about the background of the industry, which was fun. We definitely have a high level of knitters and crafters of all kinds. We're starting to get a lot more weavers.
Well, that's, I was going to say, weaving is, or I was always, my heart has always been, but you've had some amazing headliners in your place, and you continue to have amazing. Can you give our listeners just kind of a little small roll call of great headliners past?
We have had, in the past, we've had Franklin Habit. He's come a couple times. Cornelia was here last year, Cornelia Tuttle Hamilton, and that was a great time. We had so much fun with her. Franklin was just here just a couple weeks ago, so that was really exciting. We are looking forward to some great events coming up in May 16th and 17th. The ever-wonderful Carol Sukoski and Marley Bird will be coming to the shop, and the three of us are going to have a lot of fun.
That doesn't sound like a good pairing at all. I think I need to send Mavis down there just to chaperone the three of you.
We would love to have Mavis down here. We will, I don't know that she'll be chaperoning, but she can join in. It was kind of funny because we were trying to figure out what to name this weekend, and I can't really relate many of the names we came up with on
a live. It's a family show, so be careful.
It's a family show, yeah.
It's a family show. That's
so
right.
If any of your listeners have suggestions, we'll take them.
But again,
so we're going to have fun. We're going to dye. We're going to do some dyeing yarn with Carol. Carol has a yarn line, Black Bunny Fibers, and she dyes. And I'm so excited for Marley's Curvy Knits class, and that'll be fun. And then in June, we're going to have Melissa Leitman here, which
wow,
I'm really looking forward to because I never get to a chance to take classes, so I'm kind of excited to be sitting in on these classes when people come.
You know, it's funny, and we've had at the shows at Stitches before, we've had many teachers saying, you know, gee, it would be a great thing if we could figure out a way to take a couple of these, you know, at least briefly take a couple of each other's classes. But
yeah,
never seems to be enough time, does there?
Never. Never.
No.
Oh, well.
No. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about your shop because everything I've heard, everything I've seen online, I mean, you guys are getting it done in the way that it needs to get done. And, you know, and I think it's working for you.
It is. It's, you know, and I, one of the things that Robin and I really try to do, and I, you know, I just have to say, Robin is the perfect partner for me. We work well together. We fit each other, complement each other very well. But also our goal is that we enjoy every day we come here. And if we're enjoying it, then our customers are going to enjoy it, and everyone will be happy.
For Fiber Hooligan listeners who may be thinking about strolling into your neck of the woods, it's in St. Louis, Missouri. Brooke, why don't you give us your store address, your new store address?
We are at 10404 Manchester Road in Kirkwood, Missouri.
Cool. All right. Let's move off of here and go back into your design career. Now, of course, you first got onto our radar. I mean, you worked with Pierce, and then you met Rick and Elaine. This is Rick Mondragon, our Knitters Magazine editor, and Elaine Rowley, who manages the editorial department and who does the books, my partner, the R and XRX. You met with them. They fell in love with your stuff. It was our 100th issue for Knitters Magazine, K100. And I had never met you before, before the piece was in. The piece you did was exceptional. It was called Daydreams in Lace, and great stories about it. We'll talk a little bit about it. But, you know, you met our funky little company. What was that like working with us? We're a little strange, aren't we?
You are. Y'all are a little odd, but great fun. Always great fun. No, it was really fun because, I mean, I think Rick and I had a lot of give and take and back and forth about this design and, you know, what's going to work well for your readers and maintain my aesthetic. And it was a really fun process. And I was so honored to be a part of this 100th issue. That was a great thrill for me.
Well, it was amazing. And, you know, this Daydreams and Lace has come up several times. The moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group and Ravelry group, as well as the host later on in the segment of State of the Hooligan, is Tammy Burke. And when I first met her, she was at Sock Summit, and she was wearing Daydreams and Lace.
And I got to see it. She came in and showed me at Stitches West. It's lovely.
She did a nice job on that, don't you think?
She did.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. And it's – I remember thinking at the time – and, folks, the way that publishing works is that usually designs that are intermediate to easy get the most traction. Brooks' Daydreams and Lace P piece was designated, you know, advanced. And you always kind of go, okay, you know, there's only going to be such a segment. But it took off. I mean, I remember a huge number of favoriting on Ravelry over this piece.
Yeah, as of right now, it's about 1,400 hearts. And I like
hearts. Yeah. And a ton of people that have it in their queues, too. It's just a gorgeous piece. So what was your, I mean, the yarn for that was Buffalo Wool Company, correct?
The original yarn I used was, yes, Buffalo Wool Company, a yarn they had named Dream. In the one in the magazine is made out of a yarn, I want to get the exact, a JoJo Land yarn called Ballad.
Oh, it's JoJo.
It's the finger and
weight
yarn.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what was your inspiration for this piece? Because very feminine.
So, you know, people ask me that. Generally, when I start, I mean, my most popular projects have always been the ones that I don't necessarily had an inspiration. I just cast on and thought, well, let's see what happens. So this one, I had found the, it's a top-down yoke, and I started with the, I had just found this little floral pattern I did at the top, and I did that for a while, and then I thought, okay, now what? Oh, look, we're right at about a waistband, so let me put a waistband in, and I found another stitch pattern I wanted to use. So, you know, my, quite often my designs are a lot more organic. They don't necessarily start, they don't necessarily end the way I started them. I just kind of go.
No fear at all.
Well, no, there's fear, and there are a lot of failures that people don't see. But, no, it's just that's kind of the way I enjoy working, and I do best work that way, if I can just cast on and go and see what happens.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really great. So, you know, I wanted to let Fiber Hooligan listeners know that this was, again, this the first piece that Burke did for us was in our 100th issue, K100, which is actually a double issue. I think it had 51 patterns in it and some great content. It was a gorgeous magazine. Of course, I think it's completely sold out right now. If you're interested, we still the magazine was also the first issue that we put up digitally as a Zinio product. Zinio is a digital magazine base, much like Amazon or somebody like that, that has a an iPad app and a browser app. But that issue is actually still for free online. And so if you go to knittinguniverse.com/digital, you will see a link that you can go to so you can go get K100 for free, which will include Brooke's Daydreams and Lace pattern and as well as a lot of other great stuff. And, yeah, you just sign up for the account. They won't ask you for a credit card or anything, and you just get your account, download the issue, and you've got it. So all of you who's interested, go get it. I just pasted the link in the chat room, and Tammy will post that link later on in our Ravelry and Facebook group. So anyway, yeah, that was great. And but you haven't stopped. You haven't stopped working with us. You've done some other designs, and especially recently you've done some other designs.
Yeah. So I had the skirt in the skirt issue, which we did the design challenge for.
Which you were amazing at.
That was so much fun to do. I mean, I was a little nervous because I was in quite some heady company. I mean, Gwen Bortner. So that was a lot of fun. And then in the fall issue, we had the Lush and Lacy tunic, which was also a really popular piece. And I think that's a fun one.
Yeah.
That's kind of a nice, easy, and that's an easy knit, which I've been trying to do more. I've been trying to kind of do a few more simpler things. So
have
it's
you?
More accessible. I have.
Okay.
I want to be accessible to everyone. And then the follow-up piece to that is in coming up in the spring issue, the tulip tunic, which is based on very similar shaping to the Lush and Lacy. This one has three lace patterns in it, one of which makes tiny tulips all over the bodice. But again, that wonderful A-line shape that I think looks great on everyone.
Well, and I think both of the last two pieces that you've done have both been in Trendsetter. The piece before this last one, I know that Barry gave you some great feedback about that, Barry from Trendsetter. You know, it was gorgeous, just light and airy and again, very feminine. You have a real skill for that feminine touch in your pieces.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's again, I think it's just such a wearable piece for all body styles, which is nice. It's been fun working with the Lotus Yarns from Trendsetter. I think Barry kind of gave me free rein to say, you know, do what you do, and that is how I work best. So I've had a lot of fun working on all these pieces. So we've kind of enjoyed it, and it's such a wonderful yarn line.
Well, that's great. Okay, well, so let's move on to the next thing. Let's talk about your teaching, because about the same time you got in on our radar as a designer, you got into the world of teaching, and it's been a joy to have you with us. It's just, Mavis looks forward to working with you. Our customers love you. You know, let's give our listeners a little background. Where have you taught?
Obviously, I'm always teaching here at the shop, but I've taught at Vogue Knitting Live and at Stitches events, pretty much all of them for the past several years, which is what I love. And I love how each Stitches has its own personality, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's they aren't very cookie cutter, really. I mean, they're very different as a vibe. I know the markets are different. People come to the shows from all over the country and even out of the country, but they still are regional shows, really, and very different vibes. So, what is it that you tend to teach?
Well, I teach all pretty much lace classes because that is my area of expertise. But I teach at all levels, so I have a great introduction to lace class, which is, you know, literally for people who have never knit lace, and we talk about how to read charts and how to make the basic stitches, and I try, really search for a way to make it more intuitive in all of my classes, to make the knitting process more intuitive rather than rote. My most popular class is a class called Fixing Mistakes in Lace Knitting, because fixing your mistakes in your lace is very different than fixing in other things. So that's by far my most popular class. And then I do lots of classes on just specific techniques. So coming up at South, I have a class on, I call Pizza and Pie, which is circular shawls, and how to do that horrific cast on, 3 stitches on 3 needles, and join to work in the round without twisting. I have an easy way to do that. I have classes on Japanese lace, and I have a class on Estonian lace, which both of which are really fun genres.
So I want to talk about lace for a minute, because this is a difficult subject for a lot of people. My very first interview on Fiber Hooligan was with Debbie McComber and another great knitter and a friend and a yarn store owner. And she said on the air, when she wants to live dangerously, she knits lace. I brought that up when I had J.C. Breyer on the show as well. And, you know, of course, J.C. will come back and say, look, they're just stitches. I know you feel the same way, but how do you get past the fear? There's a lot of anxiety when people walk in and aren't conversant with lace.
There is. I agree. There is a lot of fear. I think JC would agree with me. One of the things I have found through owning the yarn shop and everything is that a lot of knitters don't spend a lot of time actually looking at their work, which is very intriguing. So that's the first thing that I really encourage people to do, is take time to look at it and watch it and see where the stitches are moving and why they're moving and what they're doing. Because once you understand that part of it and the basic structure of a knit stitch, the rest of it's all easy, frankly. But also it's only stitches. You know, as I tell people in my class, is really honestly, if what you wanted out of this was just a sweater, you'd be shopping. You know, we like the process. That's why we knit. It's as much about the process as it is the product. So just sit back and enjoy the process. And if you make a mistake, oh, well, it's only stitches. You did it once. You can rip it out and do it again.
And, you know, and I know this is a message that I've heard you say, because you are absolutely fine with the idea, if somebody says something to you, you don't even look sad. I've seen you say to somebody, just rip it out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm sorry, well, you're going to have to rip that out, but it won't be so bad. You don't apologize at all. I've seen you say, just rip it out. Like, you know,
yeah.
Come on, folks, there's real problems in the world. Ripping your stitches out is not one of them.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's not the end of the world. It's not, you know, and you did it once. Just cast on and start over again if you aren't that far, or rip it out and go back to where you made your mistake, or figure out how to fix it. But there's nothing really overwhelmingly scary about lace. I mean, frankly, I think socks are a heck of a lot scarier than lace. But that's just me. I'm not a sock knitter. But I do. I always think it's amazing is a lot of times in the shop we'll have ladies come in and say, oh, I haven't knit in 50 years. And I never really did knit very much. I just made a couple pairs of Argyle socks. I'm like, I'm sorry. If you can make Argyle socks, you can do anything. You've got short rows, you have color changing, you have teeny tiny needles, you've got everything in a pair of Argyle socks.
Yeah, well, I stay away from socks.
Yeah.
I can't even finish my Doctor Who scarf, so, you know, you don't want to I thought I'd throw it out there before you threw it out there. That's what I decided to do. Preemptive strike on me. That's what I thought I'd do. All right, So you're teaching at Stitches South in April, and again, I know you're teaching some lace classes, you know, lo and behold. But I also know that you're teaching at the upcoming VK Live show in Seattle, and you're doing some other stuff there, too. Can you talk about that?
Well, this time it's fun. I'm not teaching. I am only Carol Sukowski. No, I am not teaching this time. Carol Sukowski and I are going to be there together, and we are going to have a booth in the market, which is going to be the funnest booth there. Everybody's got to stop by and say hi, if you don't hear us laughing from across the room. But we are going to have some Black Bunny fiber yarns. We're going to have our books, and we'll be signing books all weekend. And I'll have all of the models from the book there so people can try them on and talk about fit and see how they feel on the body. So we're really excited. It's going to be a new adventure for us.
Well, congratulations, you know, and I think that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it after I get over the stress. That's a lot of work. I have so much respect for all the vendors now.
It is. You know, and people don't always understand that there are tons of pieces of paper you have to fill out, and there's the marketing considerations, and there's the show book advertising, and then there's the fashion show stuff, and then there is the drayage and shipping and decorator stuff and electrical stuff, and you're spending all this money, and you go into these things, and it's still all speculative because you don't know whether you're going to make any money or not. I mean, it's incredibly stressful.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of moving pieces, I agree.
Yeah, there really are.
Yeah.
And we've thought long and hard about how to simplify it. It just doesn't get much simpler than it actually is these days, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, and none of it's necessarily hard. It's just there's a lot of balls in the air.
There is a lot of balls in there. Yeah, and there's deadlines, and you got to keep track of them. Yeah. Well, so you alluded to it that you're going to be carrying it in the booth. So let's get into this. This is really exciting. This is why I scheduled you now, as opposed to before the show, before Stitches. I would like to talk to you about your new book, Lovely Knitted Lace.
Yeah.
Your publisher, of course, sent me a review copy of it before I left for Stitches West, and I had a chance to look at it. And, Brooke, what can I say? It's just gorgeous.
Thank you. I am so proud of it. I really am. I think it turned out beautifully.
It really did. Let's tell our listeners a little bit. I mean, the process of going through and publishing a book is always interesting to me, and I think our Republican listeners also agree. So let's first talk about what the book is. What's it about? What was your vision?
Well, so the book is titled Lovely Knitted Lace. The subtitle is A Geometric Approach to Gorgeous Wearables. So my thing is I love knitting lace, and I really am bad at wearing shawls. I'm not the most graceful of people, and my sense of where my body is in space is very different from where my body actually is in space often. So when I wear shawls, they tend to get stuck on doorknobs and on the chair back and all of that. So I really like making garments out of lace, and I like making the lace integral and very an organic part of the garment construction. What that means, because lace is often so intricate, is that you need to keep your garment shapes fairly simple. And I discovered that most of my garment shapes were based around very simple geometric shapes. So the book breaks, each chapter is a different shape. I have a chapter on circles, one on squares, one on rectangles, and one on triangles. And in each chapter, I have four projects made using that shape, some accessories, some garments, and I do have some shawls in there. So it was really a fun process to work on, too, to kind of, you know, break down the shapes into their simplest form. So it was fun.
Well, since you talk about that, let's go into the process. You know, you're the author, and you're moving back and forth with Word documents and probably InDesign documents and PDF documents back and forth between the editor, the copy editor, the graphic designer. And it's, you know, there's a bit of give and take that goes there. And there's also a little bit of, you know, hey, you know, I mean, the author's vision needs to come through, and the publisher has sales needs and layout needs. It's not adversarial, but it certainly is, it can be stressful in its own way.
Mm-hmm. No, it can be. It really went so very smoothly. I think Lark did a great job of supporting me and then making their needs and their point of view clear so that I could go into it understanding, you know, what we needed to make have done. I also think kind of our goals were the same. We all agreed that we needed to have projects at all skill levels. So I've got several very easy projects in there, and I have a couple very challenging ones. So there's something for everyone. I really made a point to make sure that I have all gauges of yarn, because that's my one thing, as I think I tell in all of my classes, is lace does not have to be teeny tiny yarn on teeny tiny needles. That's, you know, really all lace is putting holes in the right place. You can use any yarn you want. So I have projects in worsted weight yarn, I have projects in cobweb weight yarn, and everything in between.
Well, and I actually remember Jane Sowerby telling me something very similar. So it's great to hear you say that too.
Yeah.
So this was a fast book, at least in terms of us. This was 18 months of your life?
Yeah. Yep. So it was. It was a pretty fast process, which I was happy about, because it is 18 months of your life. It's two children.
Yes. Here's the thing. I'm going to throw this all at you at once. You do a book. You're teaching several times around the country a year for us. Well, four times a year for us. You're teaching it at other places. You're running your store. You're designing garments for publications like Vogue and Knitters Magazine. And you're a mom. So you just decided to stop sleeping a couple years ago?
I did, yeah. You know, it's all overrated, that sleeping thing. Yeah, overrated. I work about 12 hours a day, but I work on different things for different time periods, so I'm not doing the same thing for 12 hours a day, so that makes it very different. I have great support systems in place. I mean, Robin and I, again, we work together so well that we're great at kind of tag-teaming each other. When one has a deadline, the other one picks up the slack, and vice versa. You know, so it's busy, but it's good busy. I love every minute of it, so I'm not complaining yet.
Well, I mean, you can always complain. You know, it's fine. You know, that you should just do that just for the heck of it, but do it, you know, behind closed doors. That's where I do my complaining. Yeah. So do your boys think you're cool now that you're an author?
No, they do not think I'm cool. They don't get it. Actually, I have one son who's in seventh grade, and they're having a career day coming up, and I offered to go presentation, and that was, he put the kibosh on that very quickly. You are not going to come to my school. Okay, never mind.
Oh, man. You know, they don't mean it. They don't know. I get the, you know, it's been a lot of years since I've been cool as well. If I was ever cool, who knows about that. We're not going to get into that right now. So let's let people know where they can find your book.
So you can find the book. It releases tomorrow. You can find the book at all your normal book sites, at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Your local yarn shop and your local bookstore should have it. If not, they can get them at Unicorn Books. You can always call me here at Kirkwood Knittery, and you can buy it from us and even get a signed copy.
Wow, that's great. You know one more other place that they can get a copy of your book?
Where? At Stitches, or
right.
At BK Live.
Right.
That's
no, how about
right.
Right now on the show, why don't we take a caller and give away a copy of your book right now?
That is a great idea. Let's do it.
So, Ira Hooligans, I'm going to be looking for the fourth caller at 718-664-9655. That's 718-664-9655. And I see the fourth caller in here, and it's going to be area code 256. Please remember to turn the volume down on your computer. I think I've got them. Hold on. Nope, they dropped. Area code 256, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to have you call back in, and I'm going to wait for you because I feel bad that for some reason you dropped. So if you're listening, call back in. I'm going to wait for you. And we should tell other people that we are going to give one of these books away also on our Ravelry group that we'll announce in last week. So if you don't get through, you can get up to, there she is again. Or I assume she. I shouldn't do that. Hold on 1 second.
It was
area code
me. I dropped the phone. Yes, I dropped the phone.
So who do we have on the line today?
This is cute. I wasn't going to call in, and I was like, well, I won't win this time. And I switched over, and then you picked me, and then I dropped the phone because I was stunned.
So funny.
That's so funny. Well, Kim, you were the fourth caller in. So, you know, so welcome to the show. You know the routine. Send me an email, benjamin@fiberhooligan.com, and we'll get that set up for you.
Congratulations, Kim. Yeah, it's so funny because I always accidentally hang up the phone with my ear.
I do too. And we have these phones that have like a button that's right there, so it's like so frequent.
Yep.
That's so funny. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
I tried to win your books and stuff on other podcasts because you have like the prettiest designs, and I'm just
Thank
now
you.
Getting into lace and learning how to read charts, so it's
good.
So funny.
Well, thanks. Have fun. I'd love to see what you do out of it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
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 That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. I might have to Kimberly has won actually a number of times. I might actually have to start banning her. No, I would never do that to Kimberly. I'm going to be really upfront. I'm going to tell people I'm going to take the first, second, third, fourth, whatever caller, and then I'm actually going to take that caller. And whatever it is who it is. So that's I'm not going to think about that anymore.
Nah.
So that was pretty cool. And again, I want to remind everybody that we are going to give away one more of these on the Ravelry group. Tammy will start a thing about that a little later on. And so that's fantastic, and thank you for donating the books. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to make sure that we talk about a kind of a cool thing that I just recently heard about you, and it is a charity piece to benefit Habitat for Humanity. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
I sure can. Several years ago, my niece, who had just celebrated her 21st birthday, took off on a trip to bicycle across America to raise money for Habitat for Humanity. She was struck by a truck and fatally killed that summer. But she's left behind an amazing legacy of giving, and Paige was full of life. And Paige, that was the second year she had done that, given her summer up to write Bike Across and raise money for Habitat for Humanity. So I designed this shawl. I call it Paige's Circle. It's available on Ravelry. All the proceeds for the sale go to Habitat for Humanity. And then I match the proceeds. My niece has, we set up a fund for her. She was ready to enter her senior year at Brown University, and she participated in their Ultimate Frisbee Club. So we have set up a fund for her there, a memorial fund through Brown University. And so I'll match all the pattern sales with a donation to the Paige V. Hicks Memorial Fund. And
well, that's
it's a beautiful
cool.
circular shawl.
That's, I mean, that's wonderful. That's very gracious of you. That's, so we'll be posting links about that as well up on on the groups. So make sure you get up there.
Thank you.
Is there anything new that you're working on that you want to talk about? Any new big surprises or anything like that?
You know, I'm always working on things. So you know, I've been doing a lot of stuff with Barry and Trendsetter Yarns, and getting ready for VK Live in Seattle, working on a few new designs that I'm kind of excited about, so we'll see how they pan out, and just always kind of got all the balls in the air.
And
really
again,
looking
forward
to Stitches South.
I'm looking forward to seeing it at Stitches South, too. Atlanta's a lot of fun. We've got that great new venue. Very pretty.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. So I want to remind people again that you have a big gig coming with Carol Sikowski and Marley Bird. And when is that going to be happening again?
That is going to be May 16th. Looking forward to that. We are going to have fun.
Okay. Yes. She'll need to sleep for 4 days afterwards, but that'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. So are there any shout-outs that you'd like to make to anyone?
Always. I'd always, thank you to my family, for everyone, for all their support. And, again, Robin. Robin is just always so supportive and helpful, and she's the one person in the world who knows that she doesn't need to answer me when I'm muttering to my computer in my charts. And, always fun.
So
you do
that?
I talk to my computer all the time.
All the time. All the time. I the biggest problem is, and then I get upset with it, and then I pace. I pace in a circle around and talk at my computer.
Yeah.
But I have all kinds of idiosyncrasies that we shouldn't go into right now, because that's a whole other episode that we don't want to
do. Yeah, that is. We should do that one day.
We should do that one day. All right, so we're coming down to the bottom of the show for you here, and I always give my guests fair warning. Before we wrap this up, I'd like to ask if you have a final message you'd like to share with our listeners. Could be anything to anyone.
It's only Stitches. That's my big thing. It's only Stitches, and it's only two sticks and a string.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough, and folks, it's not the worst thing to try to remember. So I want to thank you for joining us again today, Brooke. It was really a pleasure. I'm glad to have you on the show finally. She boxed my ears at Stitches East this last time for not having her on the show yet. So now I'm off her radar for at least a couple of months. And I really look forward to seeing you at Stitches South. I hope we get – the West was so crazy, I got almost no time to spend with you at all. I'm hoping to spend a little more time with you at the next show.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
And I will talk to you all soon.
You bet.
Thanks. Bye.
Her shop is doing by visiting their website, kirkwoodknittery.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Okay. You know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan. with Kemi Burke.
I'd like to welcome back the host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group to tell us what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again this morning from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I just can't not play that. I'm thinking about doing a Chipmunks version. No, I'm really not. That not.
Oh yeah, the Chipmunks playing the timpani. That would be awesome.
So it's great to talk to you. How was your week? Are you recovered yet from the show?
I don't think so. That was such a wonderful, great adventure that I think I'm still in Santa Clara most of the time, but trying to accomplish the little I can get done here. So I'm so glad I went. I got to meet so many people. Thank you for asking me. I know that my experience was different than the average attendee. I got to be in the events like the fashion shows. Both the student and the one from the magazine with all the pieces contributed from the different vendors. And then the 30-day sweater contest winners, both Steve Malcolm and Jennifer Maraca's sweaters were in there, and they were both of them beautiful and awesome. I know that most people don't get to do all of that stuff. And most of the time when I go to these events, I'm just a market lurker myself. So I still really, really enjoyed that. Where I was located in the marketplace was right there in front of the front door, so I got to see all the wonderful created projects coming through the door, and I got to visit with so many people and tell people about the Fiber Hooligan podcast, and a few people recognized me, or us, I should say, from the podcast, so that was wonderful to get to meet listeners as well. I really had an awesome time.
Well, I mean, you have a large fan base just right on your own, Tammy. I mean, and that was very evident. We went to a podcaster meetup, I think about 4 o'clock on Saturday, and everybody knew who you were. Everybody knew who you were.
And you know what? What's so interesting is before I went to Stitches West, there was only 5 people that attended that I had met prior to being there. So here I am. I'm trying to put all these people to the different names and voices that I've heard, which was really fun to do at the podcast event, because I try to listen to as many of the podcasts as I can. So I got to meet Tracy and Barb from Two Knit Lick Checks. I got to meet Dr. Gemma from Cognitive Knitting. I got to meet I just mentioned Jen Maraca, but also Laura was from the Naughty Girls podcast. Got to meet them. So, and it's amazing how many people don't look like what you envisioned.
Yeah, they don't. Jasmine and Gigi were there as well. Not Just Another Bay. Who's the host of Just Another Bay Area podcast? I'm terrible with names, but it was a fun party. And yeah, that's
Heather.
Right. And then Heather, right? And then of course Steve Malcolm shows up.
Yes.
And if you guys haven't spent much time around Steve Malcolm, that's about the point at which things get really silly.
Steve Malcolm and Marley Bird together, I imagine, is a lot like having Carol Sikorsky and Brooke in the booth at Vogue. So it was so many people there to meet, so much fun. So.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was great to hang out with you. You and I didn't get to hang out a lot, but there was a bit more than we did at Sock Summit. And we'll try maybe to have you at some future shows so we can hang out a little bit more, okay?
Yes, please.
So let's get into this today. I understand that we've got some prizes to give away. We should do those first.
So when we had Ann Lukito's program, we did put up a thread in Ravelry so that people could win her new book. And Karen commented, she's from Massachusetts. Her screen name is Carrot Music. Her comment was number 7. She said she loved the podcast, and it's always fun to hear how the designers get their starts. I think that is one of the things that I really appreciate about this program. We always hear so much about how you know, what kind of backgrounds people come from everywhere. And then everybody seemed to really love the hats that she was inspired to create for that book. And then my guest from the Rose City Yarn Crawl, Ms. JJ, offered some patterns, an ebook and some e-patterns, and we are going to send that to Susan, whose comment was number 21. She's from Texas, and her screen name is Clux. How cute is that? She said, we do have a yarn crawl where I live, and I try to go, but I always have to save money first for all the tempting items. So what I appreciate about our yarn crawl is that she has a chance to see the variety of yarns available beyond what the normal local store that she goes to has. So both great comments. Both of those posts will be receiving prizes. Thank you very much for participating in our Ravelry group.
Oh, that's great. And I want to remind everybody, if you hear about this, please send me an email, benjamin@farberhooligan.com, and do me a favor. Don't say, yay, I won, and here's my info. Please tell me exactly what you won and whether it was on the air or on the Ravelry group, just so I don't lose something. That's the other thing, too. If you are a prize winner out there and you haven't gotten your prize, it's always possible that there was miscommunication with the supplier. Get back to me. What I do is I will reply and say, congratulations, I'm pushing this forward. If I haven't done that, then or you haven't gotten it, then there's a problem. So make sure you get back to me about that. We try our best to stay organized, but there are occasions when our inboxes runneth over. So, but thank you all for participating both on the live show and in the Ravelry group. We really do appreciate it. So, Tammy, you know, let's get to your report. I always look forward to your report. What do you got for us this week? Anything cool?
Well, just like I was just talking about how life kind of changes for people and they come from all walks of life and end up in fiber, that's kind of the subject, the fibery twist in our life. JJ sent me a suggestion for a new for a topic which features the new program on Nat Geo channel called Sheer Madness. Natalie Redding, whose story is not really new, she's become the subject of this new Sheer Madness program on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, so check your local listings. She was originally a model in Asia, and she studied in California to get her BS and MS. She married Sean Redding, who is the son of the Jerry Redding hair care founder. So people may have heard of her because of he's kind of considered to have invented hair conditioner and the Jerry Curl. But she married his son, and they have a farm called the Maste Farms, she and her family. And she also has a blog talk podcast that Benjamin was on. I just finished listening to that episode before the show started today. So you did a great job on there, by the way. Anyway, Natalie lives in you got to talk about everything, which was cool. Even this was right after your first episode of Fiber Hooligans, where you had just talked to have Debbie on. Yeah, and you were talking about getting ready to do hopscotch. So, I mean, you covered everything. The website says that her gives a little bit of her bio. It says that she lives in Southern California with her 5 kids and the love of her life. She also has a Pomeranian named Cutie Pie Von Lovely. Anyway, talks about that she's her focus in the fiber business is more on the livestock now, but she has in the past done spun yarns for Yarn Market, and she's been featured in magazines, books, a couple of television shows, including one on MTV. She no longer makes yarn. She's focused, like I said, on the livestock, but she wants to give a public view voice to fiber, the fiber industry. So I messaged her over the weekend, and I did get a response back in spite of how busy she must be with the new program getting started. The first episode, as I said, was Saturday night. Check the local listings. There was a episode that is on the National Geographic website. I do have the link. I will post that in the Ravelry group. But it seems it's only available to people with a subscription to their cable services. So you may or may not be able to access that and watch it, but there are clips from the shows that kind of introduces her family and
how busy she is on the farm with everything. So I really love that this story, and she seems, you know, another one of these individuals that seemingly had a high-profile career but is pursuing the fiber life like the rest of us. So I also want to say at the end of this now, too, congratulations to Ravelry, 4 million members just in the last couple of weeks. I know that I rely on it, and so many of it are addicted to it just like me, and this is a great milestone. So, yay!
Yay, good report. And, yeah, I remember hearing that Natalie was going to be doing a show, and I just completely spaced it off and lost track of it, so now I have to go look it up. She's a lot of fun.
Yes.
We're going to have to figure out a way to get her on the show here one of these days, too. And as far as the Ravelry thing, Ravelry, if you're listening, gang, you know, congratulations. It's a big deal and very cool. And, again, very cool report this week, Tammy. You know, you always do such a great job doing research and having just good stuff to tell us.
Well, and it helps that I've gotten the last couple of times I've gotten great suggestions from our listeners. I hope people continue to find great things that I'm not seeing. As much as I'm on the internet, I unbelievably still miss this. If JJ hadn't sent it to us when we were at Stitches West, I still would not know, because it never came up in any of my feeds. So that was great that she shared that with us.
Well, we're all in this together, folks. So yeah, and again,
yes.
we always like suggestions. Get up on that Facebook group or Ravelry group and tell us what you think. Tell us what you're looking for, because we're you know, we do talk about that stuff, and we want to make sure that, you know, you're listening. So you're listening and that we're listening. So thanks for another great segment, Tammy. I really appreciate it. We'll look forward to hearing from you next Monday.
Yes. Happy great week this week, and happy Monday, Benjamin. We'll see you soon.
Happy Monday. That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group and Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on one of our groups. Tammy does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you might have heard on the show. Next week, my guest will be Tina Newton from Blue Moon Fiber Arts. More than just a color genius, Tina brings the yarn world a wealth of fiber knowledge and experience and extraordinary artistic flair. The love affair started with spinning. Soon after, she began dyeing her own roving and discovered not only a talent, but a passion. She then began translating her color theory from her own handspun into mill-spun yarns, and Blue Moon was born. Tina has a fertile imagination and the practical creativity to support it. This energy is contagious and inspiring. She loves sharing her vision and working with others. This is the spirit of Blue Moon. Tina is the mother of Naria, Rebia, and Sophia, a vegetarian, homeschooler, therapist, aging hippie chick, and just a blast to be around. Besides chickens, she has a thing for fire trucks. Her favorite song is Once in a Very Blue Moon. She is a very talented lady, and she's also someone that I've come to know as a friend and somebody that I've been able to lean on when I need advice every so often. I think she's pretty special, and I think you will think so too, so I hope you'll join us for that show. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com, and that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you next week for another edition of Fiber Hooligans.